Thanks very much, Jeremy. Hi there. It's 20 minutes past 4 o'clock. I'm Sue Smith. You're listening to a special broadcast from the Museum of Fine Arts. We are looking at all kinds of issues that are facing Montreal as we try to move forward after all the craziness that's been happening in the last couple of weeks. One thing that we want to talk about today is infrastructure. And the City of Montreal has a 20-year plan for infrastructure, including some major projects for downtown. Nick Luca joins me. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
Nick is from the McGill School of Urban Planning and the School of Architecture, and the McGill School of Planning, I believe, celebrating their 65th anniversary tomorrow.
That is correct.
So Nick wears a lot of hats. That's just a couple of them. Also joining us is Elizabeth Shapiro. Good afternoon, Elizabeth. And she is an architect and a partner at Architem Wolf Shapiro Kaskowski Architects. And welcome to you both, and thanks for coming down. So, you know, we've been asking a lot of people about what they think is wrong with the city, and often it seems to be infrastructure. Nick, I'll start with you. What do you think the city's number one priority should be when it comes to infrastructure?
Well, it's not that exciting and it's not that sexy, but it's replacing and maintaining what we've got, because like most North American cities, we built an awful lot in the boom periods, late 19th century, the 1920s, and then in the immediate post-war years. And in the last 30 or 40, we haven't done an awful lot to keep that infrastructure maintained and up to date. So the first priority is to continue updating and to catch up on a lot of the backlog that we've been procrastinating on because of budget shortcomings and other sorts of priorities that get in the way and get more attention.
Yeah.
That's the main thing that I would say, first of all.
Elizabeth, what would you say?
Well, I discuss this with my partners, and we think that education is a very important part of maintaining the infrastructure. Water management is a very big part of what is wearing out in our city today. And we as citizens can help reduce the load on that system. So I think that, you know, there are many ways of doing that, whether it's permeable surfaces where we're parking our cars, or increasing the greenery of our gardens and reducing the paving. And the city has its part to do to also increase the amount of greenery in the city. And there are many aspects to that, and some of that has to do with encouraging families to live in the center of the city, which today is not apparent. We have all these condo developments that are really geared towards singles. And I think that some municipalities actually have criteria that require multiple bedrooms in a condo development, whereas the City of Montreal does not. Mm. So that would encourage families to live downtown, more parks, more schools, more, you know, supportive infrastructure for positive development.
Now, Nick, you're part of a project called Demain Montréal, which is looking at these kinds of things. And I know one of the projects, the big kind of more ambitious projects, and I don't know if this is the kind of thing Elizabeth is referring to, but is the Hippodome project. And there's been quite a bit of criticism about that as well. I mean, how important are these big projects to the city in your view?
Well, it's a great example, the Hippodrome, of what Elizabeth was just mentioning. It's a great opportunity to actually make a neighborhood that is suitable for households with children. And in fact, there's a huge latent demand. Lots of households in the Montreal metropolitan region want to live in city neighborhoods, but can't find units that are at a price point. They
can't
find three-bedroom
places. But a lot of people criticize plans that, quote-unquote, make neighborhoods, like Griffintown, for example.
Exactly.
Who's going to move there with a kid? There are no schools within,
yeah,
you know, 10. So how do you make a neighborhood?
So in the Hippodrome case, what we're aiming for is a really innovative and 21st century kind of project that will not only be socially mixed and offer housing units that are both accessible and affordable and suitable to all sorts of different households with children, various income, and so on and so forth, but also to really rethink the way that nature and culture fit together, to actually make the physical infrastructure of water physical form, the architecture of the buildings, more performative in ecological terms, so that we have smaller ecological footprint. One of the big priorities that we're talking about is how to ensure that people can walk and bike and use transit. It's
yeah,
a great location because it's right near Namur Metro. We've got an opportunity to create a commuter rail station. And people like living in a city like Montreal because you can live without a car, or you can at least minimize use of the car.
Mm. How important, Elizabeth, do you think transportation is in an urban city plan?
Well, it's hugely important. And reflecting over the last couple of weeks and the next city government, I wanted to mention the idea of the tramway. And it makes me very nervous to think that we're introducing another layer of infrastructure on a city that is so in such trouble with the existing infrastructure. In any time, any kind of development, you have to have a maintenance plan in place. And as Nick was mentioning, we're way behind in our maintaining of our infrastructure. And we've suffered the results with the streets being closed and traffic being diverted. So imagine if we have another layer of infrastructure on those streets that we have to deal with. Yeah. But that being said, I think that, you know, public transportation is very important to reduce the carbon footprint.
Can I just ask you about vision? Because it strikes me that when, you know, we're talking about transportation, we're talking about, you know, water mains and kind of, well, you said, Nick, they're not sexy or exciting. What about vision? I mean, we always think of Montreal as being a leading light in architecture and culture. I mean, is there some kind of vision of making it a go-to city in terms of architecture? Elizabeth, I'll start with you.
Well, I think that, yes, I mean, there's a lot of architectural interest in the city. We have the old town, we've got the river and the mountain. In the city development plan, they talk about maintaining the views to these things. And with that, we have a very improved cultural, you know, with the Quartier des Spectacles, it's an amazing development, the way it's been progressing. And I think it's bringing people to the city. Every day I hear people from around the world that say this is a city they want to be in. So, you know, I think that all of these gestures are really important. What turns people off is when they can't get from point A to point B.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Nick, do you think the city has a vision?
It does. I think, if anything, the city has an awful lot of visions, and they're not necessarily congruent with one another. One of the exciting things about the Demain Montréal, the Plan de Développement de Montréal, is that it actually tries to synthesize about 19 different planning documents that are in effect right now, in legal effect, including the transportation plan, the metropolitan plan for development, the city's master plan, etc. So there is a vision. One of the perennial problems in planning is that you need to operationalize visions with objectives and with action plans, action items, and of course coming with that is the need for budgets.
Yeah.
And often budgets are where we run into problems if we can't synchronize what's going on in public works with what's going on in the architecture and planning division of the city and what private sector firms are doing, because it's a complex, messy sort of situation and we want to make the best of it.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Thank you both so much for coming.
Thank you.
Been speaking to Nick Luca. He is from the McGill School of Urban Planning and the School of Architecture. Elizabeth Shapiro is an architect and partner at Architem Wolf Shapiro Koskowski Architects. And I'd love to hear from you at 22 CBC.